Northern Ohio Bias presents NASCAR Talk with Justin Bradley.
Episode 11, Justin, and man, you almost had called it and almost worked out for Dale Jr. down at Talladega, but sadly, he did not win. Welcome in, Justin.
Yeah, but he definitely had a few good breaks go his way. He avoided a lot of wrecks they probably should have been in, and it's just Talladega. You know, that's the gamble that you take. You know, anything can happen. Anybody can win, but Keselowski pulled it out, and Junior was close, but not quite.
Yeah, Jamie McMurray had a little bit of a big real deal to do there, too.
Yeah, that was really bizarre. And, again, that's not really Eric Jones' fault. That's not really anybody's fault. It's just a racing thing. McMurray was just so high on the racetrack trying to get onto pit road. And that's the type of thing about Talladega, is pit road there is a little bit more sketchy than most other tracks. And, you know, you're either coming or you're not. And the guy behind you doesn't know that. So if you just slow down abruptly, you're going to get yourself in trouble. And that's what happened to McMurray. Wrong place, wrong time, wrong decision.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to, of course, talk, you know, about the playoffs and get into previewing the big race at Kansas, the Hollywood 400. A couple more things, Justin. You know, we were talking off pod. You're telling me, you know, everything goes there. I mean, I've switched over from the terrible Browns game because we knew the result that was going to be there to see some real competitive effort, and NASCAR definitely delivered because I saw some three wide and almost everything I could imagine a race could provide down there at Talladega.
That's a lot of the reason why fans pack it every year, is they like to see that kind of action. And you pretty much only get four chances a year to see them race in a close pack like that. Daytona is not really as aggressive as Talladega, and Talladega a little bit wider, a little bit bigger than Daytona, so they have a lot more freedom to move around and race a little bit harder there than they do at Daytona. But I thought, for the most part, the action was great. A lot of wrecks, obviously. That's a lot of what people expect at Talladega, and to see all the top guys pretty much get taken out in wrecks, that was a little bit surprising to me, but you know, that's the chance you take. Like I say, when you go to Talladega, anything can happen. Anything can ruin your chance at a championship and a victory. So it can also work out in your favor. For some guys, it did, like Brad Keselowski, but others not, like Chase Elliott, who once again seems to just be the Buffalo Bills of NASCAR. He always comes short of victory lane somehow, some way.
One of my other casual observations was teamwork was paramount in some of the, like, you know, guys trying to get some position. I mean, it wasn't a lot of opportunities for drifting and things like that. So the passing was, you know, at a minimum. But you told me it was more not just teams, but manufacturers putting it together, a little effort out there.
Yeah, and we saw them all sticking together. Toyota and Chevy kind of hung around each other, especially when it came to pitch strategy. And you had the Fords up there in front. Logano was pretty much trying to win the race for himself late, but he also did help Brad Keselowski get around Newman at the end. And that was a case for Junior and Ryan Newman. They didn't have any teammates in those final few laps, so they pretty much were sitting ducks. For Ryan Newman to hang on as long as he did up until the white flag lap, I thought that was tremendous out of him. He just really drove a great race, and you don't really see Ryan Newman up front at Talladega too often. But for not having a teammate up there, thought he did pretty well. Thought Junior hung in there pretty well late. I don't understand why Casey Kane didn't go with him, but then again, Casey Kane didn't really come on strong until those last two laps. It just kind of turned into a free-for-all, and that's what you expect. They'll work together to a certain point, but when they get inside five laps to go, forget about it. It's every man for himself.
Was it surprising to see Trevor Bayne get a good finish there?
No, not really. Trevor Bayne won the Daytona 500 in just his second Cup start back in 2011, so he's pretty well been pretty good at the plate tracks. And Stenhouse, remember, won two of the plate tracks this year, so not surprising to see the Roush cars up front. Trevor Bayne actually has had a few good runs this year. He just doesn't really get the credit because, again, he doesn't run up front enough to get it, but for him to have a third-place run, especially after he hit the wall, that's pretty impressive driving by him. So really good effort for the six car, and I think that's something, if you're him, it gives you a lot of confidence going into the last few races and even next year.
All right, we look at the standings. I mean, it's still bunched up from Jimmy Johnson all the way up to Brad Keselowski. I mean, we're talking less than, you know, less than a 40-point difference here. But especially from, you know, 4 through 8, 89 to 74, Jimmy Johnson with 3,074 points and Kevin Harvick with 3,089. Denny Hamlin, Chase Elliott, Ryan Blaney. I mean, who are we looking at here as we get down to this final four? Or do you think it's pretty cemented for Harvick, Larson, Keselowski, and Truex?
Well, Keselowski and Truex are definitely into the next round. They're going to be in that round of eight because they won the races. As far as everybody else, Chase Elliott had a chance, like I said, to really put distance between himself and everybody else, and he blew it. So he ran into Daniel Suarez. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It wasn't Suarez's fault. Definitely was Chase just trying too hard to get something out of nothing. Probably should have been more patient. And then you look at Jimmy Johnson. He was caught up in the wreck. Kyle Busch was in the wreck. I think Kyle will be fine. Kevin Harvick will be fine as well. The guys I would say need to worry are Kenseth, Blaney, Johnson, and I believe Chase Elliott right now, because even though he ran strong these first few races in the playoffs, you know, that definitely hurts. I think that's a momentum killer for Chase, what happened at Talladega. So those four guys are in serious trouble. And also Jamie McMurray. I think Jamie's definitely not going to make it to the round of eight now. I don't think Blaney will. And I also, it's a toss-up between those other guys I mentioned. I think maybe Kenseth and Johnson will probably get by, but we'll have to see. Kansas, pretty good track for those guys. So I expect Jimmy to run well and make it to the round of eight. But then again, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't. So it could go either way at Kansas.
All right, let's get into this, talking about the Kansas Speedway, 1.5-mile tri-oval track, a little bit different here. What can we expect in Kansas City?
Well, you can expect Martin Truex to run up front again. You can expect Kyle Busch to run well. Even though he hadn't had very good luck to start his career at Kansas, he's run a little bit better there lately. I think Jimmy will be a factor. I also think Chase will bounce back. I don't think he'll win, though. I really would like to see that happen, but at this point, he's had so many things just keep him out of victory lane that I don't see him winning at Kansas. I would look for Kenseth to run up front as well. It's been a pretty good track for him, so the usual suspects will be up front. Kyle Busch will be fine in terms of the chase, or the playoffs, I should say. We don't call it the chase anymore, but I look for Martin Truex to, again, be strong and probably win the race.
Yeah, Martin Truex run in May, we know Kevin Harvick won there last year, and so did Kyle Busch. So all those guys you just mentioned. But Joey Logano be a dark horse with that 2015 win he had there.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think Joey will be solid, and he really needed a good run. He's just had a terrible season, which is kind of weird considering how well he's run these last few years. But I don't think he'll be strong enough to win. Keselowski doesn't need to win. He'll be in the top 10 somewhere. But again, I think they're all going to be chasing the 78 car again, whether they like it or not.
Give us a couple of good memories or something that sticks out to you about the Kansas Speedway.
Not really too many great ones. I've never really been a fan of Kansas. I feel like it's just another cookie-cutter track that is kind of just there because it's in a bigger market. And that's fine. I understand they need to get a wider audience. But again, Kansas just has never really been my favorite racetrack. Now, we have seen some good finishes there. Joe Nemechek and Ricky Rudd in 2004, that was a pretty good finish. I like that. Those were two guys who kind of on their way out of the series who wanted to make a statement with maybe a final win there, and it turned out that Joe Nemechek was just a little bit better at the right time and nipped Ricky Rudd there at the finish line. So that's one finish that I recall. I also remember Greg Biffle running out of gas under caution on the last lap and people getting upset thinking that, well, we should be able to pass him even though he was still running. And they credited him with that win. I think one of the guys who was mad was Jimmy Johnson, of all people. And nowadays you don't hear Jimmy get too outspoken, but it's funny to look back on how he was early in his career, and he definitely was fired up about losing that one. So those are just a couple of things that stand out about Kansas. Again, not really one of my favorite tracks, but you will probably see at least one hard wreck, which kind of sucks. I mean, I know a lot of people like to tune into NASCAR to see if folks will spin or whatnot, but Kansas, you know, guys have had some pretty hard hits there. It took Sterling Marlin out, broke his neck in 2002, and Dale Jr.'s had a couple of hard hits. Kyle Busch, And remember that big wreck with Danica and David Reagan in the spring race. So, good grief. It's kind of a dangerous racetrack, in my opinion. It's one of the reasons I don't really care for Kansas.
Well, all the racetracks can't be royal. And then we know Kansas City and that baseball team there. So there you go. Justin, you've been having some fun, man, digging out some of those diecasts, man. Give us a quick update on that, man. We've been seeing it on the Twitter feed.
Found a lot when I went home to visit family this weekend. And, you know, again, I've been finding some really good new ones, too. And that's kind of something I like to do is collect Hot Wheels cars in the little 164 scale cars. I have a bunch of them sitting out right now. One of the good finds that I found was actually the Kyle Larson 2017 diecast. You won't really see them that much in stores, but there's been some issues, and I think some fans will pick up on this who know about it, with some Larson diecast in the past. Whereas you see how the car looks on television, the coloring has kind of been off when they produce it as a diecast. But this one that I got from Walmart just a few days ago is spot on. I really, really like that number 42 Target diecast. And also, if you've been wanting the new Toyota Camry bodies, they have three cars out right now: Kyle Busch, Martin Truex, and Matt Kenseth. So those look pretty sharp as diecast too. And again, I found an old Mark Martin diecast I really like. A couple of old Jeff Gordon diecasts from his championship year, and they're still actually mint, which is pretty awesome. So I don't think I'll ever open those, but you never know. It just depends. If they're worth $1,000, yeah, I'm going to keep them in the package, but it'd be hard for me to sell these things. They're like my Ninja Turtle action figures. I like to keep those, and, you know, they're just to be something fun for maybe, you know, one day when I have kids, the kids can look at them and say, boy, those are some neat toys y'all had back in the day.
Yeah, but they probably won't be able to open the package then either, so I yeah.
Well, some of them are out of the package, and that's fine. But, you know, some of the cars I would recommend you keep in the package right now, if you buy a Truex diecast or even a Larson diecast, I would not open those. I just wouldn't. Just wait till the season plays out, so before you break those out.
One of the favorites here for that Kansas Hollywood 400, Martin Truex, probably looking to win another one here and keep rolling as he goes to finish up the playoffs here. Justin, we're going ahead and close out the podcast, man. We talked about that Twitter feed. Make sure people know where to find you on social media.
Yeah, I think it's one Justin Bradley is what I have it set now, and Justin Bradley 48 for Instagram. Again, pretty fun stuff, and anytime you have any questions about diecasts, I'll be glad to answer those, because there's been some people asking me about them, and I'm always glad to tell you what kinds you should look out for, some of the ones that are hard to find, where you might be able to find those. So again, diecasts are a big thing for me, and actually it's kind of fun to talk about them, because I don't really have an excuse very often to do it, but you know, you have any questions, let me know. I mean, I'll be glad to tell you what kind of diecasts are out there that you might want to be collecting.
It's very cool, and it's something that we definitely would be talking about during the off season. So it's something, and it's a couple other subjects for all the NASCAR enthusiasts out there. We thank you for listening to this edition of NASCAR Talk with Justin Bradley, and we will talk at you next time.